Hey, y'all.
This is Talkin' Trash with Liv
and Lizzie,
the podcast where two friends show each other our silliest and most treasured movies.
Each week, we'll watch a beloved movie,
no matter how corny, childish, or contrived.
Sometimes a masterpiece with minor flaws.
Other times, a magnificent mess.
Because one man's trash
is Liv and Lizzie's treasure. Another episode of Talking Trash.
I feel like we're supposed to be like, I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Liv.
And we're doing it again.
And this week, I owe everyone an apology.
Yeah, you do. I'm not excited about
this movie. Like, normally I'm like, okay, this movie's bad, but like, it's good.
It's misunderstood.
This one's just bad.
Yeah.
But I like it.
What little I remember of this movie, I remember not liking.
Okay, so I don't know the history of this name. I don't know its etymology. Maybe I'm completely full of it, and this is truly a medieval name.
Uh-huh.
But this is a movie about King Arthur and his knights, and one of the knight's daughters goes on an adventure. Mm-hmm. Do you know what her name is?
Isn't it some, like, white girl name, like, Kaylee or something?
It is. That is exactly what it is. Yep. Her name is Kaylee, and that's everything you need to know about this movie. So...
Okay. Before we keep going, what is the vibe?
The vibe is beer and ice cream.
Yeah, we have some frozen cookie dough yogurt pops because we're returning to some... 8-year-old joys here.
We're watching a kids movie, so we get kids ice cream.
Yep.
We're adults though, so we need a beveragino to get through this bad film.
Yeah.
And nothing could do better than a nice pale ale, which feels kind of medieval, I guess.
Sure.
That's, I don't know.
Beer. That's gonna be my attitude for this whole thing. I'm just gonna be like, sure, yeah. Whatever. I feel so salty.
Dude, where's my phone? There's my phone.
It's right here.
Okay.
Okay, so...
I need it for stats,
Liv. If we haven't said it already, Liv has picked out Quest for Camelot this week. And I will say this. You are not the only person in my life who, talks about this movie, watched this movie, enjoys this movie. I think it truly was... If you watched it as a child, you have nostalgia for it.
Yep.
And I just do not.
Hot take about this film.
Uh-huh.
The problem with this film is that there are moments in this film where it is incredible.
Yep.
And they are juxtaposed with some of the worst cinema in the world.
I can't think of incredible moments that I remember from this, but...
The music is written by Patrick Doyle.
We talked about this. Patrick Doyle is one of my favorite.
Chariots of Fire. The fourth Harry Potter film. Sense and Sensibility. Anything that Kenneth Branagh has ever directed ever, including Thor.
Cinderella.
Hamlet. Much Ado About Nothing, all of them.
We should watch Much Ado About Nothing, not for this channel, but because...
It's so fun.
Because it's you and me.
Like, it's such a good one.
We started off our summer with a essentially Much Ado About Nothing themed wine weekend.
It was wonderful.
It was unintentionally themed Much Ado About Nothing, and I was here for it.
It was great.
Yep. By the way, I apologize if this particular episode is filled with a lot of, smacking and sucking noises. I apologize.
We should have probably waited till the film started to eat our ice cream.
Probably.
But,
if that's your thing, please don't tell us.
I can't be bothered.
Yeah. So, I'm mostly apologizing to Diamond if Diamond listens to our podcast.
She doesn't like eating noises.
No.
Sorry, Diamond.
Yeah. But, I will say, that I'm curious about this viewing experience with you and a couple beers in my tummy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also just going to let you know I'm probably going to... What little... Okay, it's, I keep sounding like I know it, but I really don't.
Uh-huh.
My experience with this was... It was on in, like... The last time I saw it was high school, and I feel like I was babysitting, or it was on in the background somewhere. And I just walked in at parts, and it was just okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple things I remember rolling my eyes at.
Some of the jokes are really bad.
That's the extent to which I remember it. So I'm probably gonna roast the hell out of it, but I'm really excited about that. I honestly kind of like the ones that I show you that you don't like.
Yeah.
And the last one I remember you showing me that I didn't like was honestly the last unicorn. I'm trying to think if there were other ones you showed me.
No, there were some other ones. You were mad about Labyrinth. And you were mad about Muppets in Space.
Okay, Muppets in Space I was more mad about.
Mm-hmm.
Labyrinth, I appreciate for what it is. It's just not one that I go out of my way.
One of these days I'm going to make you watch The Dark. Did I already make you watch The Dark?
Yeah, you didn't like The Dark Crystal. Was the one I didn't like because it made me uncomfortable the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, no regrets.
You shouldn't.
No!
But, oh no.
I dropped ice cream in my lap.
This will be a very different... not liking it experience, though, because you've said it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I have permission to destroy this film.
I want to be upfront about something.
Yeah.
Like I said, this film's problem is its inconsistencies. There will be a song that slaps followed by the worst song you've ever heard.
Got it.
There will be moments where the animation is stunning followed by moments where the lips don't sync correctly with the voice actors.
Uh-huh.
There are moments where the voice acting is incredible, followed by moments where the voice acting is garbage. It's baffling how they could not figure this movie out. Should I give you some stats about it?
Please do. I can't wait to hear the scores.
So real quick, synopsis of the film. The film follows Kaylee,
her
dad is one of the knights of the round table. He serves King Arthur. Basically there's this evil knight called Ruber.
I'm sorry, what?
Ruber. He's terrible. He's so bad.
I'm sorry. Like, the only way that could have been funnier is if it was, like, Gruber or something. Ruber.
Ruber.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. Please
keep going. Ruber's voiced by Gary Oldman, which you think would save the performance, but it doesn't. He's still a bad villain.
Okay. What's up with Gary Oldman? Gary Oldman's career fascinates me. It's such a roller coaster.
It is. And have you seen Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy?
No.
Incredible acting. Beautiful film. Gary Oldman is stunning in that film.
Uh-huh.
You know how I feel about him in Dracula.
Oh, yeah.
His Sirius Black pretty much steals the show.
Yeah.
I mean... And then this film... River will baffle you. He's one of the worst villains I've ever seen. He's great.
Great. We talked about this movie. So, just so you all know, what we do is, if it's not a film that either of us own, we rent it on Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And we, we've done it so much, we just kind of alternate who's renting what on Prime. So we were scrolling through, recommendeds below it, kind of to get some inspiration for later down the road. So here's my question. One of the films we saw was The Swan Princess. Is he better or worse than Rothbart from The Swan Princess?
Easily worse.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's not good.
Ooh, that's pretty bad.
He's real bad. He's embarrassingly bad. He's got this griffin sidekick. Too.
That's kind of cool.
It's cool, but he talks like this, and he
says,
"Why
does the griffin talk?"
Precisely, which is the line that I quote the most from this film.
Wait, So the griffin talks.
The griffin talks.
Why? Okay.
I don't know. I don't know why he talks, but he does. Anyways, Hrothgar has some evil plan.
Oh, isn't it Ruber?
Ruber, whatever. They're basically the same character, but Ruber's more annoying.
No, I'm never going to forget the name Ruber for as long as I live. I'm going to name my firstborn son Ruber.
Good. So Ruber is trying to, like, take over the kingdom because he's an evil knight or whatever. Uh-huh. And somehow, in all the chaos, Arthur loses Excalibur, and for some reason, Kaylee's gotta go find it. He's like, the only one who can save the day is the basic white girl. And go to Kaylee. And then she's like, I don't know my way through the forest. And then sexy Carrie Elwes, whatever his name is. He shows up, and he's like, I'm blind. I talk to plants.
You know.
And then there's this dragon that has two heads, and one of them is voiced by Eric Idle, and the other one is voiced by Don Rickles.
Oh, the other one's Don Rickles?
Yeah, their names are Devin and Cornwall.
That's kind of cute.
Which is kind of funny, yeah. King Arthur is voiced by Pierce Brosnan.
What?
Yeah, Kaylee is voiced by Jessalyn Gilsig. I've never heard of her in my life. Now, something to bridge this with last week's, because we were like, these two films have nothing to do with each other. Yep. Yes, they do, because Juliana, who is Kaylee's mom, why she has a cool name and then her daughter's named Kaylee, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with Kaylee's, it's just weird in an Arthurian legend.
Yeah.
But anyways, she's voiced by Jane Seymour, who was in our last movie. So yeah, I mean, it's fun. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna have a lot of fun with this with you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Merlin's in it. There's like a falcon.
Well yeah. This came out in the 90s, right?
Yeah, there's a chicken for some reason.
Okay.
There's pointless magic.
Is it like a hey situation?
Sort of, but the chicken is evil.
Okay, that actually sounds better.
Okay.
I'm more on board.
So what are you expecting from this film?
Oh, God. Okay. I'm expecting crappily done 90s girl power.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, the whole, like, I'm not like other girls. I get to be a knight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that whole spiel.
But I don't want to marry. I don't want to get married. I want to be single and
ride through the glen, firing arrows into the sunset. Ever since someone said, imagine that scene, but it's Gimli pretending to be Legolas, I can never watch it the same way again.
I love Billy Connolly.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Side note, I wasn't a big fan of Brave, but the mom and dad's relationship in Brave is
the best
part of Brave. Let's see. I am expecting I am expecting at least 3 Gary Oldman villain monologues. I think there's gonna be a stupid moment when Cary Elwes's character, like, doubts himself because he's blind, but he's gonna be, like, the hyper-competent blind person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you said he talks to plants, so I feel like he's a loner and he's gonna go back to his plants, even though he could probably save the day single-handedly. I think that, okay, I don't remember much about the dinosaur song. Not the dinosaur song, the dragon song.
They say rocking with the dinos or something.
Yes. Rocking with the rhinos, swinging with the dinos. I know those two lines so well. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of, we're trying to piggyback off of Genie from Aladdin moments.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. This is definitely like post Robin Williams Genie.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
And I think the ending will be rushed and there will be a Deus Ex Machina resolution. There we go.
Okay. Well, wish us luck, fam.
Time to start the beer.
Hey.
And the movie at the same time. This'll be fun.
Promise we will still be friends after this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Our listeners already, are going to hate me.
I'm already, like, plotting revenge later down the line. It's going to be great.
This one's... I think you're going to hate this more than The Last Unicorn. Ooh. You hated The Last Unicorn.
Okay.
You didn't like it very much.
I didn't like it very much, but I wasn't, like, loathing it. I'm ready. I've kind of wanted a movie to roast for a minute, so...
Okay. Well, let's get to roasting!
Grab your torch and pitchforks!
I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. God. I'm so sorry. Like, I can't even defend this one.
It was so...
I literally can't defend anything about this movie. The thing I love about this film is that the bare bones of it are great. There are moments that could have been so good, but they're just so poorly executed.
All right.
I'm really sorry. Okay, let's talk about it.
I will start with the handful of positive thoughts that I had.
Before you begin, I just want to paint a picture for our listeners.
Yeah, go ahead.
Lizzie got her hair done today. It looks super cute, by the way, but she had a great, beautiful, perfect blowout. That's gone. Her hair is, like, a wreck from just, like...
I kept, like, running my hands through it going, what?
She was, like, ripping it out, basically, watching this film. Okay, so go ahead. What did you think?
The do I feel clucky was the part where it was ruined. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. So, this movie was based on a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it was probably a pretty good middle grades book.
I'm sure.
Like, the whole time I was watching it, I was like, yeah, if these characters got fleshed out or something... Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a story here.
Yeah, the bare bones are good.
Fine. Other things that were good. I liked Cary Elwes's character.
Mm-hmm.
He was fine. He should have been developed better, but for what he was fine. This is a small thing, but... I feel like every version of King Arthur has to make him, like, gritty in some way.
Yeah, and I hate gritty King Arthur.
Yeah, this one was just like, no, he's a hero. He's a good guy. He's an admirable leader. And he was cool. I liked him. I liked the little pudgy-faced falcon. I said to you at one point that if anything happened to the falcon, I was gonna sue. Yeah, some of the background soundtrack pieces were good. Some of the individual songs.
Some.
Fine.
Also, for those of you who have never seen this film, if you've ever heard the song The Prayer by, usually it's sung by Celine Dion, sometimes in conjunction with,
Groban?
No, it's usually, what is his name? Andre Bocelli?
Oh, Bocelli, yeah.
That song originates from this film, and it has no business being in this movie.
It's a beautiful song. Not only does it have no business being that good a song in this movie, it also just doesn't really fit thematically with it. But it's just a good song. So, where do I begin? There's something I'm going to say for the end as in my opinion, the worst thing. But let's actually go back to that song, The Prayer. So it's this beautiful, soft song where the mother is praying for safety for her daughter, and that God in His grace will lead her where she needs to go, and that He will be with her. And what we have in the background are two weapon monsters chasing this girl through a muddy valley with the clanking soundtrack. It's not even like a slow-mo, like we cut back to the mother and then we see shots of her like escaping in silence. Like, no, it's
there's
just
sound effects.
It's an action scene.
They're riding wild boars and it's like, you know, like let this be my prayer.
Yeah.
Like, the sound mixing is so bad.
It's
such a bad decision. It wasn't just, I mean, the sound mixing is bad, but it wasn't, it's not even just how they mixed it, it's the decisions of the mixing itself.
It was so bizarre. This movie, so that's the first thing I'll talk about. I don't really have a way of my thoughts organized. There's just one thing I'm going to talk about at the end that I think was the biggest offender. Then we had I said in the beginning I was expecting, like, you know, bad 90s girl power representation. My least favorite trope is the not like other girls trope, and this is a very bad offender. Because not only is she like, I don't want to wear dresses and take care of the chickens, you know, I want adventure, which in and of itself isn't inherently bad. It's just that she does nothing. The person who leads them through the forest is Garrett. She gets kidnapped as soon as Garrett's gone. Garrett rescues her. Like, Garrett does everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah.
She was also a Belle ripoff.
Yeah,
in every sense.
She is.
Let's see what else. Let's keep going here. The references in this movie were so weird and bad. And Genie worked because that's what he was. His character was there to be a bunch of references and impressions. And here, I don't know. Sometimes they, like, they're saving the bird and then the Superman song plays. The whole, like, are you feeling clucky? Oh, this was a moment. We were watching it, and I heard the chicken speak, and I was like, that's a weird voice. I wonder who did his voice, and looked it up. And I had to pause the movie.
I did not know this, and I honestly wish I still didn't know this.
It is Jaleel White, a.k.a. Urkel. And he has, what, 3 lines?
Yeah.
And one of them is,
some days you've got to wake up and ask yourself, are you feeling clucky? Well, do you punk? Get it?
I guess,
because he's a chicken.
I guess he was going to cheat on his chicken wife, and then he got back together with his chicken wife.
Yeah.
And then, he also switches sides for no reason.
Like, several times.
Yeah.
And he's a named character. Blade Beak is his
mm-hmm.
name.
The only line I found marginally funny was just, and it was purely because of Eric Idle's delivery, was Garrett's like, we need to go rescue her. And immediately he goes, define we. And the only reason it was funny was because of Eric Idle's delivery. And I was like, I feel like that was what they should have committed to this whole
mm-hmm.
time, and they just didn't. So it made me more upset.
It feels like, here's how I would describe this movie to someone who's never seen it, if I was to give a warning. This film could have been good, but it is really bogged down by trying to be Disney.
Yeah.
And specifically, like, so this movie came out in 1998. Aladdin came out in 1992. there are references to multiple Disney films throughout this thing. They even, like, they make a direct reference to The Lion King.
Oh, yeah.
There are clear influences from Beauty and the Beast, The Little Mermaid, Aladdin.
But then there's also references to things that aren't even timely. Mm-hmm. Like Sonny and Cher and Elvis.
Yeah.
That make no sense.
And part of the reason that they're doing that is because they're like, oh, we'll be like Robin Williams and Genie, because he did all of those impressions. And it was funny, but like Genie was written for Robin Williams, and Genie is a magical being, so it's not weird when he changes shape and form. Mm-hmm. And Robin Williams was known for impersonations anyways.
Yeah.
So it worked.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, it doesn't make sense why they're doing what they're doing.
It was so weird. There was a Yorick joke in here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just keep going. It just kept happening. Oh, I said the troll looked like a bad thing from like a straight to home video, like VeggieTales ripoff CG studio.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
But then you said it looked like an old video game, and I think that's more accurate.
Mm-hmm. It's the type of video game that would have been good in like 2001, which
they got trapped in. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that kind of animation in a video game that had so much more data and so much like higher processing,
mm-hmm,
was really impressive at this time, but the CG wasn't even good for 1998.
No,
like, think about other movies that were coming out around this time. Like The Great Mouse Detective had already come out, I think.
Yeah.
And it had some excellent CGI in it.
Are you ready for this?
Mm.
The CG in Sinbad
was
better
than
this.
A lot better than this.
Yeah, they get trapped under the ogre's butt, and then suddenly they weren't, and I said, what happened? And you had to look me in the eye and say, the ogre farted them out.
Yeah. Because Boober or whatever is like, he's like, we're trapped under the ogre's butt. And then the,
no, I don't even think he says that. I think he literally just goes, the ogre's butt.
Or something like that. And then Griffin goes, well, at least it can't get any worse. And you know, immediately you're like, it could get worse. And then it does.
Let's see. What else?
We're just going to keep going.
I think I'm just going to go ahead and dive. I genuinely think this movie would be tolerably bad were it not for one major thing that I'm going to talk about for the majority of the rest of this time. And that is the character of Ruber himself.
He's awful. He's the worst villain I've ever seen in anything ever, period.
Yeah,
Oh my god, worst villain song ever.
Let's talk about this. Let's start at the beginning and work our way through. So number one, he shows up at the round table. He's the only character with a different character design than all these other mm-hmm. knights. And he's literally just like, I'm evil. I want all of the land for myself. And he just says it outright and then tries to attack the king. And then he's like, you'll never catch me, and runs out the door. He's gone. Oh, so down to the character design. We talked about this. He's so poorly designed. Like, he does not look like any other character in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Sticks out like a sore thumb.
They try to do this thing where his eye twitches, but it always looks like a mistake.
Yeah, they try to pass him off as, like, he's insane. Like, there's one part where the mom, Juliana, goes, you're mad! And he goes, thank you for noticing. And you're like, what is your voice? Because it was, like, different a second ago.
We'll get into that, too, because I have so many things to say about it.
But he's like, proud of the fact that he's crazy.
His eyebrows move weird, too.
Yeah.
And not in a good way, because the reality is, in animation, more so than anything else on the human face, eyebrows are what convey emotion. It's why in Wallace and Gromit. Gromit doesn't have to have a mouth to convey emotion, but he has to have the top, it's not even eyebrows, it's just above his eyes have to move. And so I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to read in this character. So then he goes away for 10 years. He comes back. It's random after 10 years. And he, oh, he says it very quickly that he's going to build a mechanical army with a potion that he bought from some witches. Don't ask questions about that. He just bought the potion from some witches.
This is his villain song, by the way.
It's, yeah, his song speaking. He's just reciting a poem, and it's not even Gary Oldman
singing. And this came after years of some of the best villain songs ever.
Mm-hmm.
And part of...
Hellfire had been out at this point.
Hellfire, Be Prepared, Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Gaston.
Like, and the thing, too, like, we've talked about this, is heroes sing I want songs, villains sing I am songs.
Mm-hmm.
Be prepared because I am a traitor. Poor unfortunate souls because I am manipulating them. I am a manipulator. You know, Gaston, literally his name. Friggin', what else? I just named another one.
Here's an interesting one. So, Pocahontas had come out before this.
Mm-hmm.
And Radcliffe's song is Mine, Mine, Mine.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, complete the act of mining, but also everything belongs mm-hmm. to me. And that was what they tried to do with the motivation here. He's like, three words. I, me, mine. And it was so strange. He's also singing about how he wants war and sadness to come back. It's so
his
weird.
Motivation is weak. And we've, I think we've talked about this. The only Disney villain that has an I Want song is, Frollo.
Yes.
When he sings Hellfire, he wants Esmeralda.
Yes.
And it's that desire for her that makes him a villain. So, this guy doesn't really have an I Want song. He doesn't really have an I Am song.
Do you know what he has? He has an exposition song.
Yeah, he has an I Am Doing song. Those always suck.
Yeah.
There's no good reason for an I Am Doing song.
I didn't say this. In the middle of his I Am Doing song, the bad guy holding Kaylee just lets her go. And that's how she escapes. That's how awful she is. They couldn't think of a more clever way for her to get away.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And this bugs me. She's like, I want to be a knight. And then her mother, like, whispers to her while she's sneaking away. She's like, go to Camelot. Warn King Arthur. Save the day. And she's like, Mother, I can't. And it's like...
This is what you wanted.
You've been begging for this for the first 15 minutes of the movie. Go, girl, go.
I agree. I also... Okay, I didn't list some things that I liked. When the griffin first showed up, I was like, wow, what a cool design.
Precisely.
What a cool idea. And then Ruber just craps on him the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's like he's suddenly supposed to be this comic relief character, even though he was this cool, intimidating
mm-hmm.
griffin. So then I joked earlier that I was like, haha, I think Ruber will have like 3 villain monologues. He has like 10.
19.
It's...
They're every other minute.
One is like 10 seconds long. He's like picking up a piece of charcoal and being like, I have to chase this little girl. And then that's it.
Yeah.
And it cuts to another scene. And then
no
the next,
context. They no. cut away from Kaylee and Garrett to show that and then immediately cut back to Kaylee and
Garrett.
And
when they immediately
like
cut back
happened.
To Kaylee and Garrett, the night had passed and they're like, we're almost in Camelot now. And I looked at you just like, what's happening?
Did you almost just say Gaily and Carrot?
I did almost honestly, say Gaily and Carrot. That's
I like
what
that.
I'm calling them. So, finally, this is the first Gary Oldman performance that I hated.
Yeah.
Sometimes he was this posh villain who was like, they're getting away. And then in the next one, he'd be like, all right, men, come on, you! And it made zero sense. It was awful.
His accent changes about as much as the character's hairline.
Yeah.
Like, his hairline is clearly receding the way he's drawn. But, like, how far back on its head, how far back it is on his head changes with every, like, every single shot of the film.
It was just...
The length of his hair changes with the shots.
Yep. So, yeah, he was bad, and he was in this movie a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Arguably too much.
Oh,
I
yeah.
feel like they definitely could have given us a couple extra scenes of development with Kaylee and Garrett. And you mentioned this. Their relationship development needed some help.
It's bad. I said, whenever anyone's like, you know, insta-love in movies is always bad, and that's why Disney is unrealistic, because they fall in love after 3 days. There have been Disney movies where, yeah, after 3 days, I believe that they're in love. Tangled is a prime example.
Also, like...
This is not one.
You know, to those people, I would say... There are certain experiences that I think you could have that would leave you pretty bonded. And most of, like, Tangled, the stuff they go through, you know?
Yeah.
Frozen, the stuff that Kristoff and Anna go through. Like, I mean, it's problematic, but, like, Pocahontas and the stuff that, you know, like...
I believe the chemistry there.
Yeah. It's... You know, I mean, think of almost any movie. I mean, I get the critiques for, like, the really old, you know, films. I mean, except for Snow White, because honestly, she's only 14, and let's be honest, her stepmother's, like, kind of a horrible person.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, for Cinderella, like, you go to a ball and some guy offers to dance with you, and, like...
Yeah.
It's kind of... Yeah, I would fall. I'd fall a little hard for him, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I just think... I think there's such a potential. What I like about this movie is kind of the way, as a child, it made me dream. Mm-hmm. Like, I love medieval stuff. I love England. I love the Arthurian legend. So, the idea of, like, a lady knight having adventures... And, like, going through, like, a magical forest. Those things really, like, tickled my imagination.
Mm-hmm.
As an adult, I know it's a bad... It's objectively a really poorly made film. But can I tell you, like, the bare bones of it that I think, if done correctly, could have worked super well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, like, her dad is a pretty cool character. They could have played up his death a little bit more. I think, or, like, shown how he died a little better. They could have made his fight with Rupert a little more dramatic. Give her some, like, reason to hate Rupert. Strengthen that villain bond, I guess. And then they should have had her have a cool escape. Go into the woods, meet Garrett, learning all that stuff, right? She even makes some of the mistakes where she's a little too talkative. I'm fine with that. They should have had her and Garrett bond as friends, but not declare their love for each other until the end of the film. Which is why he stays behind at first instead of going with her. They haven't made any sort of, like, romantic declaration, so he's like, oh, this is as far as I take you. Good luck, old buddy, old pal. And then they both, like, are, like, yearning and pining, and then that would be great. And then, you know, I think Kaylee should have gotten a little closer to Camelot maybe before Rupert got his hand on the sword. I like when he fuses his hand with the sword. I think that's a cool idea. And the way that they defeat him by tricking him into plunging the sword into the stone from that the sword came from, and so it like disintegrates him. I think all the other magic fluff that they do around that was silly. I think they should have just focused on him and played up the like Indiana Jones face melting elements of it. I like how, because you know, Garrett's blind, so he teaches Kaylee to fight by like listening and waiting and like responding to cues, and then they bring that back at the end. I think that's really good. But yeah, I think if they had focused more, I personally would have cut Devin and Cornwall. Focus solely on the relationship between Kaylee and Garrett. Spend more time with their travels in the Forbidden Forest. And then, because the beginning of the film has a pretty serious tone, all things considered. And then I would have made, I mean, the biggest thing they could have done to improve this is give Ruber a better motivation. There should have been a reason he wanted to take the throne from Arthur. I don't know what that would be or what that would look like. You know, one thing, it's kind of implied that, like there were, like, three warring clans, and, like, by pulling the sword from the stone, like, Arthur, like, unites them. Like, I mean...
Yeah, that never comes up again.
No, it never comes up again. But, like, imagine if, like, Kaylee's dad was, like, the leader of one of those clans or whatever that was united, and Ruber was, like, from that clan and didn't want them to join Arthur, and so he, like, has a personal vendetta against Kaylee's dad or something. There's a lot of, like, small tweaks that would have made this, I think, one of the coolest stories that could have been told. And I think what's sad about this movie is that it's just not that.
Yep.
But it has a lot of potential, and I love it for its potential.
All perfectly valid. Can I crap on it for one more dumb reason?
Oh, please do.
Why is Garrett still blind at the end? So, like, Arthur's magically healed. Everyone else is magically healed of their weapon stuff. He wasn't born blind. He was blind because of an injury. Why is he still blind at the end of the movie?
I mean, I'm glad that he's still blind.
I am too.
But, yeah, it doesn't make sense that everyone else was healed of their, like, various injuries and he wasn't.
The dragon's got a choice to merge back together.
Yeah, and the dragons are literally 500 years old. So, like, it's not even, like, a recent thing. Like, it's not like, oh, well, all those other injuries and, like, magic stuff was, like, recent. Like, yeah, I never thought about that before, and I kind of wish I hadn't thought about it now. That's really bad. I mean, like I said, I'm really glad that he doesn't magically get his sight back.
I am too. I don't think I want him to have it, but
yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of like good representation for characters with disabilities where they're like cool.
So my one of my favorite written things of all time is Fullmetal Alchemist. Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood's one of my favorite shows of all time. And without spoiling too much, there's a character who goes blind in that series and then has blindness cured. And every time I read or watch it, I think, I kind of wish she didn't.
Which one? Who goes blind?
Spoilers, if you don't want it, don't listen. Roy goes blind.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, they should have kept
Roy blind. I forgot about that.
I have so many reasons for wanting Roy to stay blind, man. But
yeah, like, and especially because, like, one of the things that I like, and Fullmetal Alchemist does this with, like, Edward and Alphonse. Yeah, thank you. It's been a while since I've seen it. But, like, they're inconvenienced by their disability, but they're still badasses, you know? Like, Edward has to, like, get his prosthetics fixed, mm-hmm. and they ache sometimes, and they don't do well in the cold, and, like, you know, and that's something that I do appreciate about this movie. Like, Garrett's blind, but he basically has, like, a service animal to help him, mm-hmm. and, like, he's got, like, there are moments that the time he gets hurt is because Kaylee won't shut up.
Oh, yeah. I got so mad at her so many times at this because she messed stuff up.
He literally is trying to tell her, like, I can't see if I can't hear. Mm-hmm. Shut up. Like, I need to listen for a second. And she keeps talking. But I like that she learns to, like, respect that about him. Yeah. You know?
What do you give this upon this specific viewing?
Purely objectively and without the lens of my nostalgia.
No. I think you should do it through the lens of your nostalgia because that's how we all rate these things.
Right. Through the lens of my nostalgia, it's... trying to think of a good rating system. It's 1.5 out of the 3, like, sacred rings that represent Camelot. Mm. Objectively, with zero, like, nostalgia filter, like, 2/3 of a ring.
Yeah. I'm ashamed that I don't remember off the top of my head officially how many Knights of the Round Table there were, but I'm going to say 2 out of 12 Knights of the Round Table holding up their shields
Magical shields.
Trying to summon Captain Planet by being like, Order! Valor!
Yeah, it's objectively not. I knew it wasn't a good movie when I showed it to you.
Yeah, that's okay.
But thanks for watching it with me anyways.
You know what? I still had fun.
Good.
So, yeah. I guess we are back to...
it's your turn again.
My turn again next week, and I'm going to continue my period costume drama lady things, but a little more... Sophia Coppola, for lack of a better word, with Marie Antoinette next week. Very different from this.
So, I'm not sure what to expect next week.
I'm not sure what to tell you to expect.
Because I've seen this film before, but I was a lot younger and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But I think part of the problem might have been just that I was too young to be watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all about, like, sex and scandal and frivolity, and I just didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Yeah. I'm curious.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing your childhood nostalgia with me again, friend.
Thank you for still being my friend after watching that horrendous movie.
Oh, yeah. I've made you watch...
This is payback for Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yeah. And I feel like at the end of this, you would still rather watch this movie, and I would still rather watch that movie.
Yep. Yeah, that checks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, we're on Twitter. I don't know how to tweet. I don't love Twitter.
Yeah.
But if you want to, like, hit us up on Twitter, let us know. If you watch this movie, I am curious what other people think. Like, is it universally reviled? Or are there other people out there who are like, oh yeah, like, I love that movie. There's gotta be people who liked it when we were little.
I have mentioned, I have friends who liked
it.
I don't know how recently any of them have watched it, mm-hmm. but yeah. Or how many people out there are like me, where we're like,
Yikes.
Please never again.
But, you know,
I'm really, really good if I never see this movie again.
But if you do want to hit us up, check out our Instagram.
Yes.
And feel free to comment on the post for this video. and let us know what you think.
Yeah. Let us know other, also, just, like, we're trying to refresh our memory of, like, animated guilty pleasures.
Mm-hmm.
You can obviously tell what, if you've listened to our other episodes, what are my tastes, what mm-hmm. are Liv's tastes, and,
There's definitely an overlap, but...
Yeah.
They diverge a little bit, particularly 90s animation. There's a bit of overlap, with the exception of this film. 80s animation, we tend to split.
Yes.
But yeah, so...
But please give us recommendations. We would love them. And,
absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you for listening, guys.
Yeah. Well, for the round table and stuff, I guess. Tally-ho.
I will not serve a false king. Was that the thing they tried to make a thing?
Yeah, they tried to make that a thing.
Cool.
Stop trying to make that a thing. Stop trying to make fetch a thing. How did I bring Mean Girls into this?
I don't know.
It's late. I need to go home. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for hopping in the trash can with us.
Give this week's movie a watch and tell us what you think.
And let us know what movies you think are trashy treasure.
Maybe we'll give it a watch.
Follow us on Twitter at Liv and Lizzie to tell us your thoughts.
And remember, no matter how trash you feel, you are deeply treasured.
Bye!